Lord, we come into your presence as we bow before you, and are always amazed at your holiness and your grace and your mercy upon our lives. Lord, we come and we pray that you will continue to wash away all of our sin, all that would block us from seeing you and knowing you. Lord, we know we are in this world, and there's much in this world that would drag us away and convince us that there's other things more important, just earning money or having a roof over our head or even clothes. But Lord, you tell us that it's so much more important to know you and to have your word. Lord, we thank you that we can gather in your name today and be in this church and to hear your word proclaimed to us. And we can have the chance to be with other believers. Lord, we know in so many parts of our world today that's not a reality for a lot of Christians, that there are a lot of countries where totalitarian governments rule and Christians cannot meet. There is not freedom of religion. There is oppression and all kinds of difficulty and trials for Christians. Lord, we live in such a free country right now. But Lord, we know that these days there is darkness looming on the horizons. And even our freedoms, Lord, are always up for question in these days. So we know that you tell us in your word that we will be in the last days, and that in the last days they'll be like Noah's days, that people will be given and taken in marriage, and that there'll be rumors of wars and darkness and famines. Lord, but you are still with us. You are still the Lord. You are still on the throne. And Lord, you are sovereign. Thank you for that. We pray, Lord, that you would give us strength to continue to confess your name as great and holy in our lives and in this world. We pray today that you would bless us as we hear again your truth, your power proclaimed to us. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. Please be seated. I got a mic. Yeah. It's nice to have Gary and Joanne back from the Bahamas, I think it was, that you guys got away on your honeymoon. So good to have young people married in our church and celebrating that and the love that God gives to us to have for one another. This morning, I want to talk about evangelism has been our theme over the course of this past month or so. Evangelism and tools. I plan to bring a hammer, you know, and a saw with me, but I didn't bring those tools. But if you're like me, you've probably had a hammer in your hand, had some nails, had a saw. You've probably tried to do some construction work. This day and age, we're so much into DIYs, right? Do-it-yourself projects. So all of us know what tools are. They all come in different stripes, different formats, hammers for hammering nails, saws for cutting wood, paint brushes for painting walls, on the list goes. Well, having the right tool for the right job is so important, isn't it? You don't bring out your hammer to cut a board with. It just doesn't work that way. So having the right tool for the right job brings success and makes the job easy. So when it comes to evangelism, just like many activities, having the right equipment is so key and so important. So I want to talk about what some of those tools are in way of evangelism with you this morning. So generally when I was thinking about this message, I'm not unawares that there are many different presentations that we have out there of the gospel. We call them gospel tools, things like four spiritual laws, alpha program. We have things like the bridge illustration. We have the colors to heaven. So many different presentations that we have to give of the gospel. And like most of us, you probably thought, well, these are the tools of evangelism. Indeed, they are very helpful, very beneficial tools. I've used them. I'm sure you have too, in way of trying to present the gospel to different people. But praying about it and doing some more research on it, I thought, and you know, what more would God say in way of evangelism and having tools? And I was thinking, you know, maybe I could stand up this morning and just work through maybe a couple of the presentations of the gospel that are so well known today. And I thought, well, maybe God would have something more for us in way of understanding the tools of evangelism. And so I've got actually a stack of books on evangelism in my library. And so I thought, you know, God, you know, please lead me to something that, you know, would be helpful for people this morning. And so I didn't grab that stack of books. I actually found another book that I thought, wow, this doesn't have anything to do with evangelism. But for some reason, I just picked it up and started thumbing through it, and I turned to chapter 13, and the title of the book is Follow Me, which has nothing to do with evangelism. And Jan Hettinga is the author of the book, and it's talking about loving leadership of Jesus. So I was kind of thinking, like, well, what kind of tools am I going to find and hear about evangelism? And so happened that I flipped to this chapter 13. Again, nothing about evangelism. The title of the chapter 13 is From Religion to Relationship. From Religion to Relationship by Hettinga. Not quite a title for evangelism, but I started reading it, and I was struck by what Hettinga was saying about evangelism. He was saying that in his experience that he would proclaim the gospel to people. People would have a step of faith, say, I believe in Jesus, and then they wouldn't come to church or be involved in church for too long, and they would disappear. He said that about only 10 to 15% of people that actually made some confession or said they believed in what the gospel proclaimed actually became faithful, believing, strong Christians in the Christian church. And he was so struck by this, by the fact that he had such a low percentage, that he was actually thinking resigning as a pastor. I thought, whoa. I thought, this is pretty heavy stuff. And I thought, this is right where we need to be in terms of understanding evangelism. How do we struggle through understanding evangelism and the tools that we use for evangelism? And is there something better? And that's what Hettinga was asking his fellow pastors and other people. And he came across a well-respected evangelist, and he asked this evangelist, so, you know, how are you experiencing your evangelism when you get up and talk to so many people and proclaim the gospel to them? He said, yeah, you know, I have a very low percentage. It's only 10 to 15%. So 85% of people just kind of maybe raise their hand or whatever in a meeting, and then they walk out the door and then they're gone. And so Hettinga was just gobsmacked by this and said, you know, what are we doing as a church? There's got to be something more. So he looked into what Jesus does, and he said, you know, I thought the gospel was this way. This was the presentation of the gospel. But then he said, You know, when I looked at what Jesus did with the presentation of the gospel, he said he noticed two things. The first thing was that he never presented the gospel in the same way to anybody. It was always different. And the second thing was that he always talked about the kingdom of God coming. And he said those two things often are lacking in way of our presentation of the gospel. Often it's one size fits all. You know, go through a presentation of the four spiritual laws, or, you know, the bridge illustration or something like that, and we present the gospel to people. Man is sinful, God is holy, and so how do we bridge that gulf? Well, the cross of Jesus Christ, I'm just giving you the simple gospel illustration here, is that Jesus died for your sins, and you believe that, and then you are saved, you know, according to the scriptures, and we can quote various scriptures related to the fact that you are indeed saved, that if you believe that. And so Heading said he was overly frustrated with the results, but he found that because of these two things, that the talking about the kingdom of God and the approach being not the same to any one individual, that he had to re-examine what the gospel presentation was and the message that he was giving to so many people and even his own congregants. Nothing wrong with the gospel presentation, but I think there's something definitely missing if we don't include the kingdom of God. So first of all, the first great tool in proclaiming the gospel is the proclamation of the kingdom of God. It's the proclamation of the kingdom of God. Proclamation involves telling others about what is real, what's real. In our world today, we constantly hear this word coined by, I believe, Donald Trump, fake news. And so, on the internet, on the news, we're always got this kind of question mark out there. Is this real? You know, can I believe this? And so we always have this kind of question mark and thinking, well, maybe I can't believe it. You know, I need to get it backed up by facts and reality to say, is this real? And so we stumble around almost blindly now, trying to understand what is real to us today, even when we have things promoted to us in way of media or other sources of information. So when it comes to proclamation, we have an uphill battle. Proclamation is important in way of what we proclaim. What did Jesus proclaim? Even more so, what did he tell his disciples and talk to his disciples about was more so in way of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of God coming near. When his disciples came to him and said, Jesus, teach us to pray like you pray. We want to be people of prayer. And we see that prayer is important for receiving power and being able to live above the world. And so Jesus taught his disciples to pray like this, according to Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. The kingdom refers to God's rule, God's sovereignty, God's will being done on earth, and that's what we are to pray for. And that kingdom coming is what we're to be about, and we're to proclaim the reality of God's kingdom coming to earth and being a part of our reality. Since proclaiming something doesn't carry as much weight today, again, we have a very big uphill battle, don't we, in way of telling other people that indeed the kingdom of God is real. God is real. But the ramifications and consequences for not knowing and believing the reality of God is quite dire. Two, God tells us that he is holy, that the world is separated from him, and that the only way to God is through the gospel, through Jesus Christ. I was out for a run last week, and as I was running, I was kind of had my headphones in. I was running along the trails along the Coquitlam River, and I came across this huge black bear, probably, you know, within 15, 20 feet of me, kind of this big black lumbering thing, and his back end was about right at my shoulder height. You know, he was a big guy, and so he was right in the middle of the trail. He kind of looked at me, I looked at him, and thankfully there was another trail that was off on the side, so instead of going straight at him, I kind of ran off to the opposite direction, you know, on the side of the trail. And the trail kind of snaked around along the river and came back and came going the direction that I wanted. So there's actually kind of a fork, and the trail goes in two separate ways, and I knew that, so I kept going straight. Well, not too long after I had run into this bear, I came across this lady. She also had her headset on and was walking quite briskly towards the bear. So I stopped her and I said, excuse me, you know, there's this big bear that I just about ran into just down the trail, you know, probably about, you know, 2 minutes down the trail here. So you know, I just want to warn you about that. And she said, her eyes got really big, and she said, thank you so much. And she turned around and started walking in the same direction I was running. Well, it didn't happen more than maybe 3 minutes down the trail that I happened into two other ladies. And they were also running and going the direction of the bear. So I stopped them and I said, oh, hold on, ladies. Sorry about this, but there is a big black bear on the trail. Just, you know, probably 3-4 minutes down the trail. And the one lady said, oh, thank you very much. And she kept running with her friend right towards the bear. And I thought, okay, well, I told them, you know, that there was this bear on the trail, but it's totally up to them. You know, I couldn't say, no, stop, you know, you got to turn around and go the opposite direction. I'm sure, you know, the danger and the threat to them was very obvious, but maybe not. How we respond to the gospel is important, but telling people, proclaiming the reality, and if certainly God is holy, God is an awesome God, and He's created all, as we continue to sing week by week. You know, so awesome is He. And yet we come with our sin and our problems in this life, and we try to reach out to God, yet our sin blocks us from getting in contact with God. And so we have to confess our sin and ask God to forgive us our sins. And the only way to get forgiveness is through Jesus Christ and His shed blood on the cross, not by our prayers or anything that we can do can we accomplish bridging that gulf between us and that holy God. That is the message that we have to continually proclaim to people, to tell people, hey, there's something beyond this life than what you can see with your empirical senses. There's a spiritual reality to life, and there's danger if you don't do something in regards to it. God tells us there's an eternal separation from Him once we pass from this life. But there is an eternal joining together with Him and with His eternal family if we but receive His offer, His salvation. And so that's the gospel, and we need to continually proclaim that. John the Baptist called out in the wilderness saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. The kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God are one and the same thing in the Gospels. We have to proclaim the reality of God's kingdom present with mankind. When God is close and the rule is close, there is some real danger for us if we don't abide by the reality of God's presence in us and around us. There is danger if we do not know who God is. A big bear might seem quite scary, but God's holiness is even scarier. John proclaimed an action. He said, repent, change your direction. The second tool for evangelism is repentance. So the first tool is proclamation, understanding the kingdom of God and the importance of the kingdom of God, that there's a kingdom of this world and there's a kingdom of God, and we have to be aware that that kingdom exists. And then we have to do something about that. And John the Baptist said we have to repent. As a young Christian, I had had the opportunity while I was living in Calgary to join a Billy Graham crusade. It was a great event. I took the training because that's what everybody was doing in the church, do the training. And so I did the training, and then there was a week-long Billy Graham crusade. And at the Billy Graham crusade, after Billy preached, the song came up, "Just As I Am, Without One Plea." And as a huge choir was singing that, hundreds of people were streaming down the aisles to the front. And that was our cue as counselors to go down to the front and to talk to people, you know, and to, we were given a presentation to present them with, talking about what they were doing in way of going down to the front to know who Jesus Christ is, to receive Jesus Christ. And so I went through the presentation with several people over the course of that week, telling them, hey, this is what the gospel is. This is what God wants you to do in way of a relationship with Him. And they would nod their heads, and I would get their phone number. And after the crusade, I was told I should call them up, see if I could meet with them, encourage them to join a local church. I did that. And, you know, not one person that I talked to decided to come to the church. And I was so discouraged because I had talked to them and they were so agreeable at the front of the auditorium and said, yes, yes, I want to know who Jesus is and I want to follow Him. But when it came to actually following Jesus, there wasn't a follow through. What went wrong? I believe there was a lack in the focus on the presentation I gave to them, having to do with repentance. John the Baptist told people that repentance looked like. It's believing that God has an agenda. Change your behavior to fit with God's holiness. We don't tell people they need to repent. Instead, we say, just believe in Jesus and be saved. Call on the name of the Lord. Accept the gift of eternal life. Ask Jesus into your heart. Say the sinner's prayer, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And there's a dozen other things that we tell people to do when it comes to becoming a Christian. This is usually how we close the deal and how we say to people, okay, now after you've done that, you're saved. But is that really the case? Jesus used the message of God's kingdom and asked people to repent. To repent. What does repent really mean? If God is king, it makes a huge difference and should make a huge difference in our life. Most people today who are atheists or secular humanists believe that they themselves are king of their world. But the king really is the owner, the creator of all life. And no man can take that title but God himself. We are no longer the king. We make God king when we repent. Repentance is first and foremost a recognition of who God is. God as being the boss. And who we are as His creation. Repentance then is simply not feeling sorry for ourselves and sorry for our sins. That indeed is part of repentance. But repentance involves much more in way of giving over the keys, basically, and ownership of our lives to God. For myself, I can still remember my own conversion experience. I went to a concert in Edmonton when I was about 16. I had been attending an Alliance church at that point, and I had heard quite a bit about what the gospel was and the importance of a relationship with God, and I believed myself to be a Christian already. But when I attended the concert, I found that I really enjoyed the music. And afterwards, the lead singer got up and said, "Hey, you know, does anybody out there want to be a Christian?" And I thought to myself, well, I'm a Canadian. I'm a Christian already because I'm born in Canada. And I always signed all my documents, you know, legal documents with the idea that my religion was Christian. So I thought, I'm a Christian. Then he said, you know, anybody that would like a relationship with Jesus Christ, please raise your hand. And I remember at that point thinking, wow, that's exactly what I want, is a relationship with Jesus Christ, because he loves me and he died on a cross for me. And I so want that. But at the same time, I was thinking to myself, if I follow God, he's holy. And that's going to mean that I'm going to have to change my ways. I'm no longer going to have to be, I'm no longer going to be able to do the sin that I so enjoy and that's so pleasurable to me. I'm going to have to follow God. And that was the big struggle in my heart and my mind. All the lead singer at the front said was, please raise your hand for receiving Jesus into your life as a relationship. But in my heart, I knew that raising my hand was not just raising my hand for a relationship. That relationship was going to cost me everything. I was going to have to die to my own selfish ownership and give God the keys, because he's indeed the king owner, and I wasn't going to be able to live my life as I pleased, but how God pleased. And so it was a huge struggle within my heart, just as in that moment when that guy said, you know, just raise your hand, because I felt like, wow, I don't know if I can do that, because then I'm going to have to give up on myself. I'm going to have to let God be the owner. I'm going to really have to repent, change my ways into doing what God's ways are. I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if God will accept me. But you know, in that moment, I felt like, wow, I can't miss out on God's love. I have to receive that love that God has for me, even if it costs me my own life. And I can remember putting my hand up in the air and saying, yes, I want to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, even if it costs me my sin, all the things that I enjoy. I give God ownership as he is in his kingdom, rules in my heart and my life. And I remember at that moment, as I raised my hand, I felt like all of heaven and all of hell was looking at that decision that I was making at that point. And I knew it was going to cost me everything for the sake of following God. That is repentance. He didn't title it repentance, but that's what it was. It was changing my heart from following myself, following what Larry really wanted to do, to following what God really wanted to do. That, folks, is repentance, and that's what we need to preach and tell people, rather than it's just a gift. You know, you just say a prayer, and then you're in. I think it's much more than that, and way of saying to God, God, I repent before you. This is my sin. This is the way I want to rule my life. This is the way you want to rule my life. I give you the keys to my life. I am no longer in control. You are in control, God. That's a huge step that we need to take. becoming a Christian isn't just a gift exchange. Let me tell you this. It's an axe murder. It's not a gift exchange. It's an axe murder. And the axe is being held by yourself. And you're murdering yourself, basically, is what you're doing in receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. Sorrow for the wrong we have done isn't enough. God isn't so impressed with the admission of guilt and pointing at sin and even ourselves and saying, I did something bad back there. He wants us to realize that we need to be completely a new creation before Him. We need to die to ourselves. Is there any reason that God and Jesus says you must take up your cross daily and follow me? We must die to ourselves daily and to our agenda and follow God's agenda. It's a whole world of difference in swatting at the leaves of trees and tearing up the trees by its roots. Repentance is getting at the root of the tree, our own selfish agenda for our lives. It's by this means that God transforms our hearts and gives us a heart of devotion and love for Himself that is all in all in our lives. And this way, I believe that people that truly repent and become part of the kingdom of God have fully given up on themselves and now are seeking to live for God. Well, thirdly, the third tool of evangelism is dependence upon the Holy Spirit. Words and presentations just are that, words and presentations. Jesus told His early disciples that they had a helper, that if He went, He would send an advocate for them, a comforter, one that would be with them. That when He left, He would send this Holy Spirit into the world, and this Holy Spirit would convict the world of sin and their need for God. John 16, verse 7 through 11 says this, "But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. And when He comes, He will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned." The Holy Spirit convicts, but He also leads and He guides us. He comes to us and directs our steps. In Luke 12, 11 and 12, we read, "When you are brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourself or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will tell you at that time what you should say." How are we to depend upon the Spirit when it comes to evangelism? We depend upon the Spirit by asking for His guidance and for His help. He will guide us and prompt us. I always look back to the time when I had an opportunity to share with a gentleman Four Spiritual Laws again. I went to the University of Regina, brought that tract with me, and I prayed, "God, send your Holy Spirit, direct me to a person that needs to hear your gospel." And there was only one guy in the hallway at that point. So I said, "Well, God, I guess the Holy Spirit, you are directing me towards asking this guy if he's heard of the Four Spiritual Laws." So I went up to him, asked the question, presented the Four Spiritual Laws, and he said, "I'm already a Christian." I said, "Great." I said, "Which church do you attend?" He said, "I'm not attending church." I said, "Oh, that's really bad. As a Christian, you need to be attending church." And he said, "Well, you know, I had a falling out with the last church I was with." And I said, "Well, buddy, we should get together and study God's Word." He said, "Great." That guy was a Chinese guy. I didn't know what I was getting myself into. But after a couple of weeks of teaching him and being with him and doing Bible study with him, he told me, "You know, Larry, you need to learn something from me." And I said, "Oh?" He said, "It's not fair. You're teaching me something, but I'm not teaching you anything." I said, "Okay, what do you want to teach me?" He said, "Well, I'm going to teach you some Mandarin." I said, "Okay, go for it." You know? So we had a mutual exchange. And that led eventually to myself feeling called of God to work in an Asian church and travel to China. God uses the Holy Spirit to direct us and guide us step by step in our lives, and has led me to this place now that I'm a preacher here at Westwood Alliance Church. Dependence on God, dependence on the Holy Spirit, involves prayer, seeking for guidance, and then a following of those promptings that He gives us within our heart, within our circumstances, within the people and the family that we have around us. Dependence upon God, repentance, proclamation. These are great tools for evangelism, folks. But let me tell you this morning. If you haven't already got an inkling in way of evangelism, evangelism isn't just something you do on occasion. It's something that we need to do for ourselves. We need continually to hear the proclamation of God's truth and reality of His kingdom in our lives and in our hearts. And that's why you attend church on Sunday, right? And always we have the need for repentance in our lives because the world seems so large. And yes, our five senses screams at us, you know, see me, hear me, taste me, feel me. All these sensations come to us all of our days. And we sometimes fall asleep when it comes to the spiritual reality that's around us. And so we need to repent on an ongoing basis. We need to call out upon God and ask Him to come and forgive us for our sin, for looking at the world as more important than the kingdom of God. And so, folks, we need that constantly in our lives. And then, of course, dependence on the Holy Spirit. We so need that in way of being alive to God and being able to do ministry here in the church and even in our jobs and in our families. We need to continually cry out for His guidance and His help. And He's called the Advocate, the Comforter, the One that convicts of sin and righteousness. He is the One that comes to us. He is the Holy God Himself that indwells us and changes us, transforming us. Let's pray, shall we? Lord Jesus, we come before You and recognize in ourselves, Lord, that we have so much in way of lacking. We pray that You would give us Your power. You would give us even more faith to reach out and trust and believe Your word. And we pray today that as we confess You as our fount of blessing, Lord, that indeed You would fill us to completion, not for our own sake, but for the sake of the world, because You've told us to love others, to proclaim Your kingdom, and to call people to repentance from a life that is not according to Your will, but a life that is given over to just the things of this world. And we pray that You would help all of us follow You with all of our hearts. And so we commit ourselves even today in that accord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please, let's stand together and sing. God's gospel proclaimed to you this morning. Perhaps within your heart this morning there is that struggle that I had so many years ago and constantly have, we all have, day by day, but there's a point where we have to give God the victory, isn't there? We have to make that decision to say yes to God and no to ourselves. Perhaps even this morning, there's people amongst us today that want to know that certainty that they have Jesus as their Savior and they have that kingdom of God ruling within their hearts and their lives. If you so desire that, we desire that for you as well. And we want to take that opportunity to pray for you this morning. So after the service is over, I'm going to stay up the front. And I'm going to pray for those that come forward and want that kind of prayer for themselves. Help them to bridge that gulf and find Jesus this morning. For the rest of us, there's a time outside for coffee, for fellowship. Enjoy that, the blessing of other believers, encouragement of others around us. Also, we want to take opportunity to encourage you towards Alpha Program this September. September the 12th on the Wednesday evenings, we're going to have an 11-week program that's going to stretch over until November to give people opportunity to hear of God's love for them. Would you be so bold as to be encouraged to sign up with my wife who's going to be out at the table and come and register and be a part of this Alpha program? So I'm going to pray for you, and then I'm going to give you the benediction. You can leave. Or you can come up to the front and struggle a little bit more and pray that sinner's prayer, asking God to come into your heart and your life. It's a hard thing to be that axe murderer on yourself, isn't it? We all don't want to do that, but that's the only way that we can come to God is through the cross to die to ourselves. If you're willing to do that, I'm willing to pray for that for you this morning after the service. Hear God's word of benediction upon your life. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood and made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and forever. Amen. Please be seated. After silent prayer, be dismissed. And if you'd like, come up to the front if you would like some prayer in way of making that step of repentance and belief in your heart to receive Christ. May God bless you.